Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com. And with support from ADM, looking to nature for discoveries in food, feed, and fuel. ADM, resourceful by nature.
Well, the wheat futures faltered and the corn and the beans followed. Will the drop continue? We'll try to find out today on Commodity Week. Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Later this half hour, we'll talk with Matt Bennett of Bennett Grain of Windsor, Illinois. Mike Georgie of Allendale and Muhammad should join us. Brian Maple of F.C. Stone & Company out of Indianapolis is here. And Daryl Good, Extension Ag Economist from the University of Illinois, will join us for the whole half hour today.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's open today's discussion with this question, Brian. What's your view of the wheat crop in the southwestern part of the United States, especially as it pertains to the upcoming USDA acreage reports?
Well, we continue to see talk about abandonment down there because of the dry weather. We've got a rain event coming through this weekend that's projected to bring a half to an inch and a half of water across that area. With wheat futures in Kansas City still trading in excess of $4, I tend to think these guys will probably wait till last minute before they make that decision. But then the question comes up is if we do abandon those acres, you know, do we end up seeing a shift over to corn and sorghum as we've seen in prior years in 96 and 2001? I think there's one other year in there where we saw some fairly good movement back out of wheat into the other grains.
Brian Maple is with F.C. Stone & Company out of Indianapolis. Matt Bennett of Bennett Grain.
Yeah, I agree with Brian. I think the biggest thing is the weather event that's coming through this weekend. I think we traded it pretty heavily this week if you look and see what kind of ground we lost on the wheat market. So I think that it's pertinent that we get this rain event and maybe prevent any more abandonment than maybe what there's already been.
And Daryl, your view on the acreage?
I think we've pretty well agree on what's happening there. As Matt said, we've factored in this rain event, and the models seem to be all in agreement that we are going to get a significant coverage and significant amount. Would be a major surprise if we didn't, but that's what we'll trade next week, I think, is how much coverage and how much total rain, and then what's coming behind that. Is this a one-time event, or are we seeing a bit of a shift in the pattern there? That's all going to be important.
And speaking of the trade for the week, this is how Chicago ended on the grains floor. May wheat, 372, the high this week. The low at 348.5. It is the new lead option, so this is lead change from March to May, 357.5 on the settlement price. They were down 17 cents from last week, and the July contract at $3.70 a bushel in Chicago, off 23.5 from last week. We're going to do the oats and the corn as well. May futures at 233 on the high for the corn. The low at 217.25, a settlement price for that new lead option at 221.5. It was off 4.5 cents from last week's March settlement price. And the December corn at 253.25, down 9.75. The May oats, the lead option now too. At $1.72.75, they were down 9.25. Seasonally, Daryl, what kind of expectations would you have from the marketplace from here into planting?
It looks to me like we're going to stay pretty soft, I would think, Todd, that we clearly have a much wetter pattern developing for the Corn Belt, at least based on the forecast. And as long as we're looking at the big inventory of old crop, certainly into the March 31 reports, I would look for probably not a big decline, but continued softness basically across the board.
What kind of numbers are you working with, Brian, for acreage as we come into that report?
On the corn, I think we'll be someplace down, I'm going to guess, real close to that 80 million acres. So we'll see it decline to some extent. The beans may go up 2 million acres. We've got to keep in mind that we lost a million and a half acres of double crop wheat acres last year, and I think those acres will bring back a million acres of beans right there. So I think we'll be up at least 2 million acres on the beans and maybe up towards 3, but it'll depend on what happens as we move into spring here, because you've seen natural gas come down significantly, and we're starting to see some pressure on anhydrous and nitrogen products that might make these guys lean back towards the corn, especially if this bean market falls out of bed.
And Daryl, as we take a look historically, I think we gained 2 million acres of corn last year, 2 million the year before that. Generally speaking, though, we don't have a lot of switch in acreage. Are those oddities in years, and what are your expectations for this year?
Well, I think we have seen the last couple of years move back towards a little bit more corn in the rotation in a lot of areas. So I think the question is, do we see that halted this year because of the cost increase? I think in general, I would anticipate the kind of switch that's being talked about. I'm probably a little on the light end in terms of how big that switch is going to be. And you really have to keep asking yourself the question from a market standpoint, why is it that we need more bean acres next year when we have such a huge supply? So I'm not saying that's the wrong decision for an individual farmer, but certainly a 2 to 3 million acre increase doesn't seem to be required based on the current U.S. and world supply.
Matt, I'm going to put you on the spot. Are you switching acres this year?
No, on my particular farm, we've been about two-thirds, one-third corn to bean ratio, and that's about where we're staying. I know a lot of guys in our neck of the woods and south have been talking about heavier on the bean acres, but I'm kind of like Daryl. I don't know why we would push for more bean acres myself. From a farmer's perspective, I guess maybe you have a little bit less input cost. But I think that, you know, especially whenever I look at being a producer that buys crop insurance, I'm going to be able to, you know, guarantee a pretty decent revenue with the $2.59 spring price on corn. And I just can't really see switching my acreage. You know, last year I know beans following corn out, net income corn following corn for the first time in years in the state of Illinois. But I don't think that that's something that's going to, you know, happen every year. I think that it's the first time it's happened in a while, and maybe the last time it happens for a while.
Is this maybe where everybody will be surprised when the acreage report comes out that the acreage for beans just won't change that much?
If that's the case, I think that'll be the case, or that we'll be surprised
at
that point.
It's a redundant question.
Yeah, kind of redundant. But the changes aren't going to come in central Illinois, central Indiana, and Iowa. The changes are going to come in, I deal with a lot of elevators over in Ohio, and for them, revenue is significantly better on beans than it was on corn the past couple of years for them. And you get out west into some areas like the Dakotas where the corn yields are not nearly that great, and I think you're going to see some shifts in some of those areas. It's not going to be in our breadbasket area here through the Midwest. It'll be outside of those areas.
Well, it might be kind of interesting if Ohio switches, because I think they're number five in bean production in the United States. So if they switched fairly heavily, is that right, Daryl? I think they're number five. Could that have much of an impact on the marketplace?
Well, it could. I don't know where they rank, but they obviously do have several million acres. But the fact that we're not going to shift heartland acres very much, I think we'll tend to limit the total shift to some extent. But and the question is, I guess, whether what we see in the March intentions report is what we'll actually see in June, because there's certainly opportunity to change some of those intentions.
Maybe we ought to read the bean numbers since we read the grains and then we started talking about the beans. Let's throw those numbers in as well. May futures 592 3/4, the high this week, the low at 570 1/4. They're the new lead option, 576 1/2, the settlement price. They're down 16 from last week. The Noves at 605 1/4. They were off 9.5 cents from last week. Daryl, how do you view the bean market at this point? You've told us some of what your feelings are on this marketplace, but if you get out into the fall, where do you think this market place might be headed?
Well, I think you put that in context of if we have a normal growing season and prospect for trend yields on top of a significant acreage increase, I think you have to be fundamentally a little bit bearish. New crop prices, they're carrying still a pretty big premium over old crop. And if we do have that kind of trend yield, we'll be looking at even larger inventories next year. So I think, you know, you'd have to be a little bit bearish attitude towards the soybeans. But we've got the growing season to go through and the uncertainty about the weather and certainly soybean rust at this point.
I have another question for you. What did you make of the chief economist's comments about the change in the carryout and this 10 million extra bushels, that those actually were at lost exports from the U.S. to Brazil. Does that make any difference in your mind? I know it's just 10 million, but it is 10 million that the U.S. lost to Brazil in terms of exports.
Well, yeah, and I think the question is the 10 million reduction enough, or whether it will be even more? We're continuing to look at a pretty soft sales program compared to where we were last year, and harvest is progressing very rapidly in Brazil. So, I think it's Chinese switching to Brazilian soybeans as they normally do this time of year.
Just one other comment on that. China actually, by our records, is up 200,000 tons on purchases this year, but the U.S. is significantly lower. So we know that they've done a lot of business with Brazil through this season so far, and we have missed a lot of business up to now and probably will continue to miss some.
Do you think that that's part and parcel of the investment that China made in the Brazilian infrastructure? I know they funded railways across parts of Brazil and probably other investments as well.
Combined with some issues that China and Brazil were having 2 years prior, they were doing some fighting back and forth on some stuff. So I think all that goes together. And you throw in the fact that the farmer last year held beans off the market, much the same fear that we've got this year, where Brazilian farmers, the real has stayed relatively strong, and they're not selling a lot of new crop beans right now. So our concern is that they're going to have bushels to sell once we get to new crop again next year and do the same thing to us again next year.
Brian, you work a great deal with elevators. Elevator operators more friendly to the bean market? I guess I'm trying to get a handle on it in this way. That generally speaking, it seems to me that farmers always feel like beans should be worth more money, and they're always looking for $7, $8, $9, $10 beans. Do the elevator operators view it in that same way, or do they just work off the margin?
Well, you know, maybe prejudice, but the ones that I deal with are not thinking that at this time, because we've been surprised by the resiliency in the bean market. It's stayed up here for a lot longer than I thought. When you start looking at a record carryover in the U.S., second to highest stocks-to-use ratio, record world stocks, it's hard to stay friendly to the bean complex. Most of us feel like we'll probably end up going down and challenging at least the $5 mark before it's over with.
I totally agree. I think a lot of us have been sitting around scratching our heads about, you know, you look fundamentally, the bean market, boy, you know, I think a lot of guys have been expecting it to have 20, 30, 40 cent drop off one of these afternoons right before the close. You know, I think most of your grain elevator people, you know, as far as the way we look at it, we are really surprised with anybody that we have that has the old crop beans. We don't have a whole lot of them that do. And the ones that have been asking about it, I've been trying to, my recommendation has been to be out of beans, for sure, out of the old crop beans, and, you know, and to have a fair amount of the new crop beans booked as well.
Daryl, a question for you. The world demand continues to grow at roughly 4, 5, 6 million tons a year for soybeans. And with this profitability issue down in Brazil, in fact, I read last week or this week yet, that I think 70 farmers brought farm equipment down to a bank and parked it on their lot, basically. We need them to increase production, not here in the U.S., but down there. Are you seeing that that's going to be a problem next year with sugarcane taking over bean acres?
Well, I think that's certainly going to be the tendency this 1 year. And, of course, there's a limit to where you can grow sugarcane as well. So they're clearly not going to give up a lot of soybean acreage, but the point is they're not going to expand much into new lands and perhaps continue to be a little bit sparse on the inputs because of the squeeze that they're under. You know, it doesn't take a big run-up in soybean prices to change that fairly quickly back into a bit of a profitable situation. It certainly doesn't take $7 or $8 beans, but if they don't increase and we get a little more snug on stocks, then the market will encourage them to go back into bean production. So I think for 1 year we will see a further decline there.
Daryl, what does your work tell you that the price of beans should be? And then do you have a reason as to why it's not? Because I know you've got the number, at least I think you do, of what maybe the price of beans, relatively speaking, ought to be at this point. And then are there fundamental reasons that it's not the case? And maybe what you just discussed with Brian might be one of those.
Well, I think when you say what beans should be worth, what we tend to look at is the historical relationship between stock levels and average prices, and that relationship is not constant over time, but regardless of which time period you look in history, you would say that given the stocks that we have right now, you would expect soybean prices to be lower. Certainly, if we had the same relationship that we had in 98 through 2001, when we averaged about $4.50 beans, you'd say if we were operating in that world right now, we would expect bean prices to be at least a dollar lower than they are. But even looking at prior periods when I think that was a unique four-year period there, you would still expect beans to be maybe in the low $5 range, $5.25 to $5.30, rather than the $5.75 that we're actually going to average this year. My explanation partly is that that part of demand is the speculative interest in owning soybeans, whether that's a futures or cash inventory. And I think we've had a resurgence in inventory demand, whether that's because we're worried about inflation and we think maybe soybeans are a bit of a hedge against inflation, whether we're building in worries about next year's weather and soybean rust. But if we find out we don't need those big inventories, then I think we are in for a bit of an ugly situation going into late summer.
Daryl, I've got kind of a comment and question, I guess. When we talk about the historical perspective with the stocks to use ratio, not only on beans but on corn, and you know, and I'm talking maybe a little bit more on corn right here. You know, what? How much do we factor in the historical whenever we're talking about maybe a new era of demand with corn and where corn people are saying, hey, corn's being traded more as an energy than a food product now. You know, and like you said, there's a huge speculative interest. We've got, you know, the index funds have entered the marketplace. You know, when I talk to clients and they say, well, historically speaking, you know, how in the world are we at 250, you know, 255 or 265 even D's corn? You know, and I say, well, I don't know that you can just basically look at the historicals with this new situation.
Well, I think there is some truth in that, but what you would expect is if there is a change there, that would be reflected in the level of inventories. That is, we'll use more corn and pull our inventories down, but for a given stock level, regardless of why it's there, that should give us a specific level of prices. And that fit, Matt, this year is actually pretty good. We're going to average about 195 on corn this year. The current stocks-to-use ratio projection for the end of the year suggests that the average should be close to 190. But I think when you look at the year ahead, you say a cut acres 1.5 million, a trend yield, you get a 10-9 crop. We increase use 500 or 600 million bushels. Now you've got a ending stocks of 1.7, but still that's not a very small stocks to use ratio. That says corn next year would be worth 215 to 220 rather than a 250 we have right now. So yes, I think clearly there is the expectation that corn use is going to expand quite rapidly, but unless we have a shortfall in production, 250 is still pretty robust, I think.
And I'd like to follow that up just real quick. And basically, I agree with everything you're saying. And one of my arguments has been potentially we're keeping the corn price up, you know, in anticipation of next year. We don't, if we do have somewhat of an acreage drop this year, we're not going to be able to afford any acreage drop next year. So, you know, even though we've got the higher input prices, we need 250 plus corn if we're going to have the type of acreage that we're wanting.
I couldn't agree more on that, Matt. I think beyond this year where we may see some shift from corn to soybeans, I think beyond that we're going to have price ratios so that the acreage goes the other way. If this ethanol continues to grow as as it obviously is, then trend yields alone will not keep up with that kind of consumption. We will need more acres, and I think that means that more of the soybeans will have to be grown in Brazil.
I have a question come back on that. Does that mean, and maybe Brian, you can answer this too, and we'll start with you maybe, that, and I saw you shake your head in agreement with these guys on this issue, that the index funds who've been in both the bean and the corn and the wheat market, all three of those, that they may not be the supportive factor that really is holding the price at these higher levels? I mean, I guess I know the money's there, but I don't know because the money's there that that's driving the price at that level. Does that make sense to you?
Well, here's what I'll say to that is ultimately, I mean, you can have speculative money come into a market and move a market one way or the other fairly quickly. Ultimately, supply and demand takes over and controls how we finish this marketplace out. So if you look at the cash market today, we've got wide basis levels in the cash and in the new crop as far as that's concerned, and we continue to work towards almost full carry or even sometimes beyond full carry as we get to the delivery month. That doesn't tell me the cash is leading the way. If you have a really strong market where you have a problem, the cash leads the way through it. So I tend to think those index funds are going to struggle to come out of these, especially in the carry atmosphere that we have today, when they continue to buy the nearby and have to roll it forward and roll into those carries every time at the wrong time because they're doing it late and they've seen the carries widen out on them. I think they're going to struggle to make a living at it.
Darrell, your comments on that?
Well, I tend to agree with that. And I guess my question for Brian is, you know, we hear farmers say, well, these funds are going to be a big factor in the foreseeable future. They're just going to pour more and more money in it, but not if they're losing money, right?
That would be my thought, too. I think that there's several of them that are down roughly 6%. They probably gained some of it back with the energy strength this week, but they're down roughly 6-9% here going into the early part of the month. And if they show losing statements here for this first quarter, I think we'll slow down some of the movement into that marketplace, and it's going to be directed towards the equities, which have had a pretty good month.
But is that really going to be the case? Because isn't it that they have a great deal of money that the commodities only make up a small portion of the portfolio, and they use it to balance out the portfolio? So they're averaging their risk across many things, and that a loss may not really mean that much to them at this point?
That's some people's stance on it, Todd. I don't tend to follow that stance myself, but that's some people's stance.
Well, I know Deutsche Bank's going to be stuck until at least November right?
Yeah. So, and they're the ones that turned the corn market around on Tuesday, I think it was, when we were down 3 and came back and finished up 3. It was the tracker fund that actually ran it up.
And was that the case on Friday, too? I think I heard that Deutsche Bank was in again today. On Friday for the marketplace too for the corn. Is that right?
Well, we were down on corn today, so.
Yeah, but I heard they came back in at
if
some
they were,
point.
I missed it.
No, I don't know. Darrell, you started to.
Well, I think for many of these funds that they've just recently added ag commodities to their portfolio. I think they could be pretty quick to take them right back out if they don't perform.
What's everybody think of what producers should be doing at this point for, let's start with old crop sales, if they've got old crop left. And I want to know how much old crop you think is actually left out in the bin.
Well, we're hearing talk out west that some of these guys are still holding 50% of what they stored last year. I don't think we're that high over here in the east, but we have 30%. There's a train wreck coming at some point in time because the market continues to pay carry. So the farmer sits here and looks at his nearby cash, and he looks at the deferred price, and he says, well, I'll just hang on because I can get that out there. And so there's no reason to sell it now. And at some point, we've got to transition from old to new, and it's going to be a mess.
I think that there's more corn out there than what a lot of people think. I don't see much, you know, very many guys that have any old crop beans left. You know, we were trying to tell guys anytime you could get over $2 to get rid of your cash corn, especially whenever you had maybe an average of 45 cent LDP. That's just pretty darn good to get 245 for corn. And most guys in our area raised pretty good corn last year. So, you know, now that we're back under 2 in my area, I don't know that I would be recommending to move all of their old crop corn, but I certainly wouldn't have any problem with making a couple sales, but I wouldn't have any old crop beans right now.
Darryl?
Well, I mean, we'll see the March 1 stocks report in a couple weeks, but if you do the arithmetic, there's a whale of a lot of corn out there and soybeans somewhere as of March 1, probably 7 billion bushels of corn still out there, 1.675 billion bushels of soybeans. I would guess farmers own a chunk of those, and I think the point that's being made, yes, we probably should continue to own a few of those into a weather market, but recognize that if a weather market does not develop by late summer, we've got a bit of a train wreck if we've got another big crop coming on.
And would it be a bigger train wreck than you saw last summer?
I think probably not, because unless we have the Katrina incident again, but it would be similar in nature in terms of the amount of commodity looking for a home.
And throw in also wheat, because right now we sold wheat at some tremendous values last year, and this year we're going to be forced to carry wheat.
Okay. As we round this out, final views on the marketplace and where farmers ought to be. We'll start with you, Matt.
Well, like I said, I think old crop sales on beans should be cleaned up. Corn, I'd like to see, guys to be fairly heavily sold with their old crop corn. On new stuff, I definitely would like to see bean sales made. If they haven't made any sales yet, they can still get a decent price for beans. I agree with Darryl. If we have decent weather this summer, we could be looking, at some substantially lower bean prices. And on corn, I would like to see some sales made above 240 on the cash corn has been my goal. And right now we're not at that in my area, so I might hold off.
Brian Maple?
I would say old crop corn, beans, you have sell rallies, any rallies out here. I don't own a single corn or bean of old crop myself. Got rid of all of them. New crop, I've got roughly a third sold on both corn and beans. I'm poised to sell up to 40, even maybe 50% on beans if we break support at 602.5, drop below $6 on November bean futures. I'm ready to step in and sell a little bit more beans. If we break the low down there, I forget exactly where that low is on November beans, then I'm probably going to step in and sell another round and get to half sold on beans. Corn, I'm willing to wait it out and see if we don't see this corn market turn back around. We've got very good demand on corn. Wheat also broke some major supports, and the one thing I think guys ought to take a hard look at is July 07 wheat. If you think about putting out wheat, we're still above $4 out there in July 07 and even July 08 that you might want to think about putting some stuff out, because this fall we could see some increased wheat seedings.
And Darryl, a final word from you?
Well, I don't disagree with anything I've heard there. I think minimal ownership of old crop, and as we approach planting time, it's good to have 25% priced.
Darryl, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Darryl Good, Extension Ag Economist from the University of Illinois, and Matt Bennett of Bennett Grain out of Bennett Grain in Windsor, Illinois, along with Brian Maple of F.C. Stone & Company from Indianapolis on this edition of Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com. And with support from ADM, looking to nature for discoveries in food, feed, and fuel. ADM, resourceful by nature.